The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
I did a podcast, I don't know, last year or whatever, on people needing a political messiah. And what's interesting historically, when Christ came, they wanted him to be a political messiah. That was the democratic intent. The mob wanted a political messiah. And the fickle mob went from Hosanna, Hosanna, and laying down palm branches to crucify him. And that's what happens, one, in a democracy, and two, that's what happens when you're seeking a political messiah. And so I just wanted to talk about, real briefly, I wanted to, I guess, take a victory lap, because the swamp finally got drained. You know, when I talk about the District of Criminals and Devil City and all that stuff, and everybody always says, well, what about Thomas Massie? And finally, the swamp creatures got their way, and the swamp is drained, and now the only thing left in the swamp are the swamp creatures. And Thomas Massie can go on to honest work or whatever. I don't know. I hope the poor guy doesn't attempt to run for president or whatever. We were promised, we heard the chance of drain the swamp, lock her up, and all this stuff. And finally, they come through on a promise. The swamp has been drained, and there are no more people with any integrity left in Washington, D.C. And a foreign government has invested tens of millions of dollars. At last count, I think it was $35 million. It will probably quite literally be double that. You know, they just dump tons at the end. And what does this speak of the political climate? Does your vote matter? Does your vote count when a foreign government can invest tens of millions of dollars, quote unquote, influence an election? I mean, this largely has to do with the people that put their name in the suggestion box of, you know, the toy steering wheel thing. Johnny's sitting in the back seat like, oh, yay, Johnny, you're driving the truck. But, you know, there's a lot of things to notice. And so I'm just noticing a couple things, and I'm becoming more and more black-pilled when it comes to the decision box and all this stuff, and us getting to decide and choose and all that kind of stuff. But the other very interesting thing with all these people that talk about, you know, your vote is your voice and it's real important, is they're completely unaware. I've asked several colleagues, coworkers about, well, very few of them even know who Thomas Massie is. And then are you up to speed on this election? And this was a, this was a referendum. This election was a referendum, and it basically says that, like, the Republic since the Civil War, once again, I'm going to refer to history, like, basically since the Civil War, since the first Republican president, like, the Republic has been, systematically assassinated. And this is just further proof. You have one guy that doesn't just talk about all this stuff and just doesn't make promises, but here's a guy that's actually done it. He's been consistent. He's voted according to the law of the land. He's stuck to the Constitution over party. He defies his party when it comes to, principles and, spending and all these different things. And we have one person that we can point to that we can say, hey, you know what? This guy's a guy of character, and he is consistently voted in accordance with what he has said, and he has been consistent from the beginning to the end. And we can't have that in the district of criminals. And the head orange criminal, he's went above and beyond out of his way to get rid of Massey, and he's called on all the foreign aid. So we give welfare to foreign countries, and then in turn, they rebate it back to us for favors. And this was a political favor, and the tail does wag the dog. So it's all just very interesting stuff that I'm noticing. And let's discuss it down below. Let's discuss it. Change my mind. This could be a change my mind session, and maybe change my mind. But I don't think you can. The more I experience and the more I notice, I become more convinced of my conclusions. The reason to even discuss these things is this is why you have to take personal responsibilities. This is why you have to have principles. Somebody had asked a question about when this next downturn comes. We have been in the longest bull market in history, like by a factor of two. So there has to be a correction. You would think mathematically there would have to be a correction of like exponentially unexperienced. Like you would think that correction would, because I warn about the stock markets and the stocks and bonds, and people push back against that, and I get that. And the interesting thing about the people that push back is like most of these people, if they're not 40 years old, they have never even experienced a bear market. And I was actually in the investing field when in 99 with the dot-com pop and in 08. So I actually got to experience that live in real time while looking at the screens and looking at the data and watching all that. But if you're like mid-30s or whatever, like you've never even experienced that, you don't even know what a downturn is. And the reason none of us experienced that in 2020, that was the financial reset to like sweep a lot of this stuff under the rug and kick this can further down the road. And to monolithically incorporate, the government and these transnational monolithic mega corporations, just like the Chinese deal, and now they're going to bring in Chinese beef. Oh, American ranchers rejoice, Chinese beef. Like they already did the Brazil thing. They're already bringing in and making exceptions and not tariffing the Brazilian beef. Now they're going to do America first, another favor, and bring in Chinese beef, unregulated. They're going to stick an FDA sticker on it. But I'm sorry, I'm riffing and I'm ranting here. But this is why you have to take personal responsibility. This is why you have to be involved. This is why you have to capitalize. Someone was saying, with this downturn, what do? You develop principles and you act on principles. And if you develop principles and you act on principles, then you will do, just like Thomas Massey, you will act accordingly. And that's the importance of principles. And the importance of principles and acting on principles and interacting with principles is, regardless of the circumstances, relatively speaking, your actions remain the same. And when there's fundamentals, you fundamentally do, regardless of the extenuating circumstances and the things that are going on around you. It's a lot like training, whether it's weight training or whether it's firearm training and muscle memory. You know, you train, and muscle memory. So that way, regardless of maybe even the chaos, right? Regardless of the chaos going on around you, you revert to muscle memory because you train. Your muscle memory kicks in, and that's fundamentals and that's principles. It's muscle memory, and so crazy stuff might be going on, you know. And that same principle can apply to discipline and discipleship and being a Christian. And is if you are disciplining yourself, and if you are in the Word of God, and if you are praying, it's real interesting because this just happened yesterday, and I just had a really great time in the morning, and I was listening to some preaching and reading and studying, and I got up really early, and I was running super early, and I was going to get to the office like probably like an hour early, and which is like an hour and a half before anybody is even awake probably. And I hit this thing in the road and it blew out my tire. And I'd let a colleague or a coworker borrow my jack and tire iron. So I didn't have my jack. I had a great, awesome, brand new spare, but I didn't have my jack. I didn't have my tire iron. I called someone that lived nearby and they came out and they helped me, but it gave me time, right, to focus again and refocus and pray. And it could have, you know, I could have reacted or I could have responded. I could have reacted, oh, stupid tire. And this metal part had fallen off the car in front of me, right? And I think it was like a CV joint or something like that. That's what it looked like. And I swerved it and I hit it with my back tire and it popped my tire. And so the reactionary, it could have been like, oh, this stupid tire, stupid truck, or stupid part, or that stupid person, and they didn't take care of their vehicle, whatever, right? Or we can recognize that it's happening for a reason, and maybe God wants to slow us down. And the beauty of that opportunity yesterday is I recognized the opportunity because I was in the proper state of mind at the time. I recognized the opportunity for what it was, and I had extra time to pray. And I was praying for my family and for my children, for my wife. And less than 2 hours later, I got a text message that could have been very concerning. Oh, hey, you know, we're at the doctor's and this is the scenario. And it would have been very like, normally it would have been very alarming, like, oh no. But I had taken the extra time I was provided because of this circumstance outside of my control. I was provided with the opportunity to spend more time and pray for my family. And God answered that prayer like before the need even presented itself. And that's why we talk about discipline on here, discipleship, and responding versus reacting, and proactively capitalizing, you know, discipline. Discipline is discipline, whether it's in your spiritual life, in your physical life, with your family, in your parenting life as a parent, in your life as a spouse, in your health journey. I know we have all these new speak phrases that are your health journey and all that stuff, and I get it, and I mean, I'm 50, so it's just weird to me sometimes because that your health journey or whatever, that's weird, but that's the new speak that we speak, but I'm going on another rant. Sorry, y'all. I'm going to get back on track here, but that's why we talk about all these things. That discipline is the underlying core fundamental, whether it's investing, whether it's the food you're putting into your mouth. You're not going to make it, especially The fast food processed seed oil thing is no different than the mutual fund. It's no different than the passive stock market. You don't get to passively. I was talking to a business owner this morning, right? A very successful multi-million-dollar properties. And we were talking about selling a very, very large property and whether it's worth, you know, having the property or having the capital. And the reality is you don't get to passively, well, if I keep the property, you know, it'll just grow, you know. And I was explaining, I'm like, yeah, but if you have the capital, you can deploy the capital. Yeah, but that requires work and attention. Yeah, of course, of course. You're not going to develop muscles subconsciously through osmosis. You're not going to buy a muscle pillow and sleep on a muscle pillow and wake up and look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're not going to grow muscles passively. You're not going to grow your mind passively. You know, you're not going to just watch like YouTube slop and your mind's going to get better. You're not going to watch shorts and your mind's going to improve. Your thought process is going to improve. You're not going to passively invest. You're not going to. You're not going to passively parent. You're not going to passively eat. If you ignore the ingredients of what you're putting in your mouth, it will kill you because they have poisoned all the foods. I had a bag of nuts, right? And it's just like, oh, these are healthy nuts, you know? And it's like pistachios and almonds and macadamia nuts. And one of the key ingredients was soybean oil. And I'm like, why are they putting soybean oil in nuts? Like, here was a healthy food thing here, and they poisoned it. Like, why? Who does that? You know, who does that? They do that. That's who does that. And if you aren't looking on the bag of nuts and reading in the ingredients, you know, they are poisoning you. And if you're not paying attention, you will be poisoned. And if you are paying attention, you know, you can avoid the consequences if you just pay attention, but it requires attention. It requires a focus. It requires attention. You have to pay attention. You can't passively eat. You can't passively invest. You can't passively parent. There are no bystanders. There's no bystanders in the game of life. You don't get to watch from the sidelines. This is what's so terrible about organized sports, you know, and it's the bread and circuses. But don't worry, we're going to have a UFC fight on the White House lawn to celebrate 250 years of the death of the Republic. And it is incredibly irony. It is incredibly incredible irony. It's incredibly ironic that we are going to have these bread and circuses. Rome is burning and we're building this ballroom with all these Roman overtones, and it's like the largesse and everything. And then simultaneously, we're going to have grown American men like beat each other up for sport. It's like art imitating life, imitating. It's when you're a noticer and you pay attention, it's really weird. It could be a really bad movie, really bad script that keeps getting reused over and over again. But that's why you have to pay attention. That's why you have to be disciplined. And that's why you have to interact. You have to be part of the solution, because you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. And if you understand the problem, then you know how to fix the problem. If you don't understand the problem, the solution doesn't matter. The solution doesn't matter. That's just some thoughts for today. Hats off to Thomas Massie for being a decent human being, since he's one of the only identifiable decent human beings that used to be in the District of Criminals, and he has 7 months left. So good for him. Hopefully he can maybe go out and do something productive or something like he used to. I don't know. But at least we have time to, get ready for this UFC fight at the White House. I mean, I can't think of a better dichotomy, a microcosm of the current vestiges of the dying republic. Y'all have a blessed day. We'll talk to you soon.